You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Brothers and sisters, welcome to the Father's Quilt. And today I thought I would talk to you about parables. Well, what is a parable? It's been said that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The Lord Jesus frequently used parables as a means of illustrating profound and divine truths. Stories such as these are easily remembered, the characters bold and the symbolism rich in meaning. Parables were a common form of teaching in Judaism. Before a certain point in his ministry, Jesus had employed many graphic analogies using common things that would be familiar to everyone: salt, bread, sheep, and their meaning was fairly clear in the context of his teaching. Parables required more explanation, and at one point in his ministry, Jesus began to teach using parables exclusively. The question is why Jesus would let so many people wonder about the meaning of his parables. The first instance of this is in his telling of the parable of the seed and the soils. Before he interpreted this parable, he drew his disciples away from the crowd. They said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear, and you and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with the ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and do not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it.'" And that you will find in Matthew chapter 13, and it's 10 to 17. So 10 to 17. So, I've got it here as the purpose of the parables in the Bible. Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And you can go through that. All right, so it's right out of Scripture. From this point on, brothers and sisters, in Jesus' ministry, when he spoke in parables, he explained them only to his disciples, but those who had continually rejected his message were left in their spiritual blindness to wonder as to his meaning. He made a clear distinction between those who had been given ears to hear and those who persisted in unbelief, ever hearing but never actually perceiving, and always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. The disciples had been given the gift of spiritual discernment, by which things of the Spirit were made clear to them, because they accepted truth from Jesus. They were given more and more truth. The same is true today of believers who have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth, who He has opened our eyes to the light of the truth and our ears to the sweet words of eternal life. Our Lord Jesus understood that truth is not sweet music to all ears. Simply put, there are those who have neither interest nor regard for the deep things of God, right? And so why then did he speak in parables? To those with a genuine hunger for God, the parable is both an effective and memorable vehicle for the conveyance of divine truths. Our Lord's parables contain great volumes of truth in very few words. And his parables, rich in imagery, are not easily forgotten. So then, the parable is a blessing to those with willing ears. But to those with dull hearts and ears that are slow to hear, the parable is also an instrument of both judgment and mercy. Brothers and sisters, it's almost like saying, what side of the fence are you on, right? Do you believe? Absolutely. Do you believe and trust in God? Because if you do, well, then you are going to understand a lot in life in terms of why things, when things go wrong, how you react. And that's huge, because that truth that you know, then you'll have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear, right? So again, you know, brothers and sisters, Jesus did speak in parables. I mean, you can think of so many, right? You can think of the explanation of why Jesus spoke in parables. Let's say follows the parable of the sower, right? In the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 13, this parable begins Jesus' ministry of proclaiming the word. The parable tells the story of how a seed is sown in different kinds of soil. Only the seed that was sown in the good soil comes up, grows, and produces a crop. And this parable is followed by the question Jesus' followers pose about the parables in Matthew 13, right? Jesus responds by explaining that parables demonstrate why not all people are receptive to his ministry of the word. That's what he's trying to get across, right? So following this answer, Jesus continues by explaining the meaning of the parables of the sower. He tells his followers that the determining factor of the parable is the soil and not the sower or the seed. The condition of the soil determines whether the seed would grow or not. The parable signifies that only some people would be receptive to Jesus' words. And this explanation sheds light not only on the parable of the sower, but also on Jesus' answer as to why he spoke in parables in general. The parable of the sower can be regarded as the parable about the parables. This is evident from Jesus' opening words when he starts explaining the parable. Don't you understand this parable? How will you understand any parable? In Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Mark seemingly regards this introductory parable as key to understanding all Jesus' parables, right? So each of the synoptic gospels provide accounts of the 12 and others of the disciples asking Jesus about the purpose of the parables. And Jesus answered very slightly in each of the Gospels. And these significant similarities and variations are indicated as well. You can see that if you read it. According to each, Jesus responds to the questions, right? And according to Mark, those who pose the question are people who are gathered around Jesus along with the 12. The reference to disciples in Matthew and Luke can refer to the 12 only, but probably also includes a wider group of disciples. And what's clear from all three accounts that those who pose the question are people who are drawn to Jesus' ministry and who have responded by gathering around him. This can be regarded almost like an inside group. Mark emphasizes that this inquiry takes place in privacy, as he mentions that Jesus is alone when this wider group of disciples pose their question. In Mark's version, the question is not specific and relates to the parables in general. In Matthew, the question is about Jesus' reason for the parable and for his reason for talking to them in parables. And in Luke, the question is what this one parable, the parable of the sower, means. So Jesus then differentiates between the group with him and those on the outside, right? So in Mark, the outside group is strongly defined as those on the outside, while the invitation of Jesus in Mark is to listen is addressed to everyone. The secret of God's kingdom is only given to those who are prepared to receive it. Right? But scripture often says, do not harden your hearts. You know, if you have ears to hear, you are to listen, right? And there are those who have heard God's word and have closed their hearts. They've walked away from the church completely. So this is the meaning of the parables, right? So, brothers and sisters, sometimes I'm sure you were wondering about why God spoke like that, but that is the one way he was revealing the mystery of the kingdom, right? That was one way, right? So it seems that parables by nature required some explanation, right? And it kind of refers to a figure of speech of which the meaning is not quite obvious. Let's say, example, in Psalm 78, right? There's some similar parables and problems that are used in a sort of like a similar parallelism, like in terms of they're synonymous together. They're almost the same. They kind of go in line with each other, right? But the synoptic gospels are clear about Jesus' disciples not always understanding his parables and needing further explanation. The parable of the sower is told in public, but the disciples receive explanation in private. Jesus speaks in parables by way of public speaking, but then explains what he said to his disciples in private, right? So it was really common practice at that time that disciples would ask their rabbis for further explanation, right? So it was not an unusual thing to do, you know. But Matthew is the only evangelist to insert the statement, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This statement reinforces the idea that the secrets of the kingdom being given to the disciples are not being given to the crowds. Whatever inkling of understanding they have would be taken away from them, while the ability of the disciples to understand would be enhanced. So, let me go on here. The parables provide an explanation as to why so many people of Israel rejected Jesus. They did not respond to Jesus as they did not understand his teachings. Those who were unable to comprehend the message of Jesus fulfill the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. This prophecy was central to the early Christian view of why Israel did not accept Jesus. And I'll give you some scripture here for you to check it out. Mark chapter 4, verse 12. Luke chapter 8, verse 10. John chapter 12, verse 37 to 41. Acts 28, verses 26 to 27. So, brothers and sisters, Jesus always spoke to the crowds in parables, all right? Always spoke to the crowds in parables. The parable of the sower forms a sort of, but what we'd say in grammar, a simile that reflects Jesus' ministry. Jesus spoke in public, and the seed of his word fell on several kinds of soil. In his private explanation of the parable, he explains to his disciples how this parable depicts the way different kinds of people relate to his teachings. Between the parable and the explanation, Jesus answers the question of his followers about the reason why he spoke in parables. His answer reflects the meaning of the parable. Mark and Matthew later both again refer to why Jesus regularly spoke in parables. And Jesus' answer, as retold in all these passages, serve as a commentary on his ministry. Jesus spoke to all of those who were receptive to his message, as well as those who rejected him. Those who were receptive to his message were like the good soil. They formed his inner group. They were privileged to receive Jesus' private explanations. And during these explanations, Jesus gave the disciples special teachings so that they could recognize the mysteries contained in the parables. The outsiders were considered to have a basic understanding of Jesus' parables, but because of the hardness of their hearts, they did not recognize the significant role of Jesus as an apocalyptic teacher. They therefore forfeited the opportunity to have access to Jesus' private teaching and could subsequently not grasp the mysteries contained in the parables. These passages reveal that Jesus' parables can only be perceived as life-changing through faith. The parables, as such, do not generate faith, as faith is a gift from God. And while the parables are often enigmatic, oh my goodness, the revelation contained in them is grasped in a miraculous way. But after the early ministry of Jesus had ended, the evangelists who received insight into the mysteries contained in the parables utilized these parables to teach the churches and its leaders and the disciples of the mysteries of the parables. So, how many times did I say that word, parables? I can't even imagine. But at least you have a better understanding, my friends, as to what was the reasoning behind it, right? What was the reasoning behind having Jesus speaking in parables? So, my friends, I think you can look back and you can see that Scripture is full of parables, right? I mean, it wasn't to confuse anybody, but that was the way he would teach. And that's how all of us, if we are one in Christ, then we will see, we will understand. Jesus used those kinds of illustrations, right? Especially in the Gospel of Matthew. right? He asks the listeners to understand an intangible reality they couldn't see with their physical eyes, which is the kingdom of God. He knew they could only engage this kind of reality with the eyes of their hearts. So he chose this way. He used stories. And those stories are commonly called parables. Okay? So that's a little teaching lesson today, right? So don't feel bad if you've been confused, because Jesus' very own disciples seemed confused about the use of parables. And of course, they even asked them the question, right? But Jesus often concluded his parables by saying, "He who has ears, let him hear," right? And the ears he referred to are the ears of the heart. And to hear with these ears means to understand and respond to the deeper meaning in the story. So according to Jesus, the disciples understood the spiritual meaning in the parables, but many in the crowds did not. And the crowds, he said, didn't want to understand. And that you'll find in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, right? Right? Because he says, this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears can barely hear. So just as the people stubbornly refused to accept Isaiah's proclamations about God, Jesus said the crowds in his day were similarly at fault. They didn't desire the truth either, so it was hidden from them in parables. The disciples, on the other hand, had seen and believed, heard and understood. What a gift from God, in that he had opened up their spiritual eyes and given them sight. They believed Jesus was the Messiah, and upon this truth, each disciple would grow, or as Jesus said, he will have an abundance, right? So, my friends, that is so important for us as we go closer and delve more into our prayerful journey here. Praying and believing and trusting God with all that stuff that happens to us, and even our thoughts. Next month sometime, I'm going to go into, I'm not sure if it's August or September, but I'm going to go into the subject of fear, just plain old fear, right? And there's a lot to be said about that. And where we stand on the scale of how faithful are we, you know, and we need to trust God. We need to know that he created you and I, right? We have a purpose on this earth. We're not here by chance, right? And so we must ask for God to open our hearts, to have the Holy Spirit enter our hearts and to fill us with the Holy Spirit and to help us know Jesus more. And as we love our Blessed Mother more and more, we become closer to Jesus. That's the path, brothers and sisters. The more you love our Blessed Mother, the more you pray to her, have her intercede, the more closer you will be to Jesus. So Jesus' task was to communicate his messages in such a way that it would extend the invitation into God's kingdom across cultures, across generations and languages for centuries. Much like a child's little picture book. You know, he used word pictures for involving common everyday, like I said before, salt and light and bread, right? And then he used common human experiences like work, weddings, and laboring to give birth to illustrate intangible truth. Because he had used parables, he allows anyone who wants to be a true hearer to understand and enter God's kingdom, no matter their language or culture. So as listeners, we engage differently with facts than with stories. Factual information engages the mind, but it often keeps the intangible from becoming tangible and memorable. It's hard to always remember facts. We can't feel, imagine, or engage at the heart level with facts the way we can with stories. So stories add color to the truth in a way that sticks with us long after we've heard them. So Jesus masterfully awakened his listeners' imaginations and emotions through his use of parables. In other words, he engaged the ears of the heart, calling people to come alive to intangible realities of the kingdom of God. And when the heart is engaged, the listener enters the story, becoming a character themselves. For example, in sharing the parable of the prodigal son, Jesus asked us to step into the shoes and perspective of multiple symbolic characters, the father, the prodigal son, and the older brother. By entering the story, we learn the character and nature of our gracious God, and we're instantly aware of whether or not we're the prodigal son or the older brother, and how we must respond. Because we've entered the story, we then remember it. In an oral culture such as Jesus, this would have been especially important in his message going forth. But it's also important for us, my friends, his modern day listeners, you and I, just like my fellow church members, when I told them about a particular pie that I made that was a disaster when I was trying to impress my new mother-in-law, right? But Jesus' parables are a gift to us as we seek to understand the intangible realities of the kingdom. They take the gospel truth and they create a more deeper, more memorable imprint. So just think back, my friends, just think of a parable that you remember in Scripture, right? Usually many parables come during different times in the year, especially like we said in Lent, we have the prodigal son. We're talking about forgiveness, right? And repentance, right? So parables bring the truth of God's word to life. That's bottom line. That's what it does. That's what the parable does, my friend, right? It's not easy to always understand scriptures, but before we open up our Bible and we pray for God to open our ears and our hearts, to give us wisdom, to help us understand what he wants to teach us for today, it's very important that we open ourselves up to our Lord. If we want to know him more, we have to sit and listen, ask questions, just like a child asks questions. So brothers and sisters, today's lesson, all about parables. And I think you now are pretty well capable of explaining to someone what the parable is, why Jesus used it, and how parables are memorable, the words of truth, right? So they're more than just short stories. They are illustrations of wisdom, right? They are the windows into the kingdom of God, and they show us in a variety of ways and angles which it means to live as citizens of God's kingdom and under Christ's Lordship. So with that, God bless you, and we will see you next time here on The Father's Quilt. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. If I had